of the Planning and Land Use Regulation Board. Can we rise for the Pledge of Allegiance with the exception of Mr. Davis?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic which stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all.
Irene, you want to call the roll?
Mr. Henderson?
Here.
Mr. Dolmey?
Here.
Chair Jones?
Here.
Mr. Davis?
Here.
And Mrs. Lucas?
Present.
Yes.
We have a quorum.
Excellent, thank you. I ask your indulgence with the absence of Mr. Beebe. I'm going to have to sit in as your chairman tonight. I think we can get through this.
Yay.
First order of business is the approval of the minutes from our meeting on December the 17th. Does anybody have any comments or questions?
Move to approve.
Second. Okay. Move to approve with a second. Any discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Excellent. Second piece of our business is a application for a two-tier technical site plan review. Or is that the minutes?
No.
We did that, right?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm looking at the minutes. Good for me. Okay, a comprehensive plan amendment for residential low-density rural estate, industrial and agriculture, and timberlands designations to residential and industrial, City of Palm Coast designations with a footnote to limit development density. I assume we're going to have one presentation and two votes, one for the comprehensive plan and one for the zoning map.
Yeah.
Is that the way you want to do it?
Sure.
Okay. Mr. Tyner?
Thank you. Yeah, we have one presentation. There's two applications. Just for some folks who may not know, we have a process when we annex property, and these two pieces, or this piece of property, for both the future land use map application and the zoning application, was approximately 276 acres. Of land that the city annexed into the City of Palm Coast. We have the City Council has adopted a policy a long time ago that we know we have lands out there that eventually ultimately will annex into the City of Palm Coast because we are providing some of the utility service, water and sewer. So this is not an unknown piece of property. We knew that eventually that it would come in, and now it was time to bring this property into the City of Palm Coast. Jose will have the details and the location. It's south of the airport, of the Flagler County lands. And part of that process, when land comes into the City of Palm Coast, which was approved by our City Council actually yesterday, was the final hearing for the adoption hearing to have this land annexed into the city. Because it retains the county comprehensive plan land use map designation and the county zoning land use designation, once we bring that into the city, we have to bring it into the city's comprehensive plan land use designation and the city's zoning designation. So that's what this exercise is tonight. I will tell you, sometimes we bring in like for like, try to be as close as possible. For example, it was a county residential future land use map designation. A lot of times we were bringing it into the city. This, we made a little bit of tweaks working with the applicant, which we feel, staff believe, our opinion is that it is a more compatible land use. For example, Jose will give you the details. There are some minor changes from what the county designation is to the zoning, but we feel that it's more compatible land use and zoning designations around the airport. This is I know we have a representative from the landowner that's here tonight, but this is a city-initiated application. A lot of times we'll have a pre-annexation agreement, and we will spell those part of that agreement is that we will do the city initiation. It's the first step in a long process whenever they come in to develop. Who knows when it's going to be, but that's when you, of course, will have platting, your site plans, and those types of things. So right now it's just a 1,000-foot level. This is part of that exercise of just, you know, establishing the future land use and the zoning designation. With that, Jose has a presentation, as you said, Mr. Chairman, has incorporated both the items into one presentation.
Good evening, Mr. Chair and members of the board. Jose Papa for the planning division. What we have before us tonight is what we're calling the Grand Landings North properties. As Mr. Tyner stated, the second meeting on the annexation was yesterday, February 17, 2015. Just to show you, this is the subject property. It's about 276 acres. It's located, this is State Road 100, so south of State Road 100 and west of I-95. And here's Seminole Woods Boulevard. And this is the airport, so it's about southeast of the airport. And just for other purposes, this is the Grand Landings master plan development, so it is just north of that. What we have with this, within this 276-acre parcel are properties that are owned by the Florida Landmark Communities, LLC, and also the City of Palm Coast. The property that the city owns is part of our drainage system. It's the canal that runs, really bisects this property. So that's where city's property is. And again, the request is for a comprehensive plan amendment and zoning map amendment that would change the county designations to city designations. Currently, the existing flume designations for the property, you have about 18 acres of agriculture and timberlands towards the northern end of the subject properties. The bulk of it, about 254 acres, is residential low-density rural estate, which permits a density of about one unit per acre. And there's about 5 acres of industrial on which the canal sits. So that's the existing flume. What's being proposed is essentially to create a better transition between the non-residential and industrial uses that are found within the airport property and the residential properties south of the canal. So using the canal as sort of a divider, the areas north of that are proposed for a flume designation of industrial, while the areas south of the canal are proposed for residential uses. The footnotes that are being proposed as part of this amendment is there strictly to limit development and to limit the maximum impact of the development. Under the city's residential flume development, you can have a density of up to 12 units per acre. What's being proposed is that instead of 12 units per acre, we limit the density within this residential area to about 3 units per acre, something more comparable and compatible with what's in the surrounding area, which is probably at about four units per acre. And then also in the same way, the non-residential development, which would be north of the canal, would be limited to about 200,000 square feet. So going through an analysis of the proposed amendment and what it really entails, the net result of the proposed amendment is that there will be an increase in the potential number of dwelling units from about 256 to 609 units, but there is a decrease in the potential square footage of non-residential development from about 375,000 to 200,000. The end result is that there will be a decrease in the PM peak hour daily trips, while similarly there would be an increase in demand for water, sewer, solid waste, and student station, which is student generation demand will increase. And that's, of course, due to the increase in the potential number of dwelling units. And so the increase in demand, based on doing an analysis of existing capacity, the increase in demand may be accommodated by the existing facilities. So no impact on our existing public infrastructure. The other thing about the proposed amendment is that the proposed land uses are more compatible with the surrounding area. I mean, again, going back to the map, we showed that areas north of the canal are mainly non-residential, and so the industrial designation for the areas north of the canal is more consistent and more compatible with the surrounding land uses, while keeping the land uses south of the canal consistent with the surrounding uses of residential. Additionally, it's consistent with comprehensive plan of providing a more appropriate balance of, again, commercial, retail, office, and industrial uses. So our findings are that the proposed amendments are consistent with the comprehensive plan. There is no impact on level of service for public service and infrastructure, and it's more consistent with the surrounding land uses. There is a companion zoning map amendment, and this is what's currently the current zoning of the property right now. Currently, there is about 203 acres of industrial zoning within the subject properties, and about 73 acres of what's called new residential community or planned unit development. Essentially, it's equivalent to a PUD or an MPD. The tag of new residential communities is something that the county came up with in their nomenclature. But again, a majority of the subject property is industrial with about 73 acres of residential. So consistent with the proposed future land use map amendment, again, we're going to keep the area south of the canal as residential with a proposed zoning of single family residential 1, and the areas north of the canal would be zoned heavy industrial or IND 2. Again, consistent with the industrial uses to the west and to the east of that industrial area, again with the canal as a dividing line between the non-residential and the residential uses south of the canal. An analysis of under the criteria for a zoning map amendment, the criteria finds that the proposed zoning map amendment is consistent with the comprehensive plan. The requested zoning districts are consistent with the proposed Flume designations. It's compatible with the surrounding land uses. And again, we have adequate public infrastructure capacity to serve the development. And finally, again, another reasoning is that the proposed change will create the appropriate buffer between residential, non-residential, and airport area uses. So based on those findings, staff is recommending that the PLDRB recommend approval to the City Council of the proposed Flume amendment from residential low-density rural estate, agriculture, timberlands, and industrial, which are Flagler County designations, to residential and industrial, which are city designations, along with the footnotes to limit development within the amendment area. Staff further recommends that the PLDRB recommend approval to the City Council of the proposed zoning map amendment from the county designations of industrial and rural community PUD to single-family residential and heavy industrial. And if the next step for this application would be to go to the City Council for a public hearing, and that can be scheduled at their first public hearing in March. So that would be March 3rd. And that concludes staff presentation.
Thank you, Mr.
Staff presentation.
We would normally have an applicant presentation at this point. I gather the city's an applicant. However, if the landowner would have any comment or anything.
I'm just here if you have a question for me.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. Let's go to the board. Let's see if you have any questions. Mr. Henderson?
Yeah, there's going to be an increase eventually when you single-family homes of students, that type of thing, coming in. At what point do we invite the member of the school board?
Mr. Henderson, they got a copy of this application whenever there's an increase in student generation, we send them a copy of the application.
Right.
Certainly, they sit as an ex officio member, and they can weigh in on the impact of this. our analysis shows that, because this is just the future land use map and zoning map amendment.
So at some future date when...
Yes, sir. When they come in to plat the property and they would need concurrency, likely they will need a letter from the school board and address the
demand. At that time?
Yes, sir.
Okay, fine. Yeah.
Here it's just a capacity analysis.
The footnote that says on land development within this particular area, maximum development 256, that goes along with the deed of the property so that it sometimes when whoever comes in to develop it, that'll be the maximum they can have.
That will be the cap. Yes, sir. That will be the cap under the future land use map designation. That doesn't say they can't come in and say, you know what, I don't like that cap. I'd like to amend it to go to 5 units per acre. Okay. The property owner always has a right to
request different.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Would they have to come back to us to do
yes,
that?
Sir.
Yes,
okay.
They would.
Yes, sir. Same process.
Now, on map 29, page 29, wait a minute. Look at the wrong damn thing. I saw the survey map looks altogether different from, it's Exhibit A22. Survey map looks altogether different for that parcel. Than
the city-owned parcel?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. That's because that parcel, the survey and the legal description was done in-house. Our staff up in Stormwater did the survey. So it does look different from what was provided by the property owner for the other properties. Florida Landmark provided us with a survey for their portion of this annexation area.
Yeah.
Yeah. But since the canal was owned by the city, we provided the legal description and,
okay.
and the parcel map.
Just wondered.
Yes, sir.
Differences.
Yes, sir.
That was it for me.
Is Airport Commerce Boulevard going to be extended to the industrial area?
Maybe we can ask the property owner at this time.
Not in the near future. It could be at a later date if there was some reason to, but currently we have no plans to do that.
So how would you access the property then? Essentially right now it's landlocked. Is that correct?
Before you answer, state your name for the record.
Sorry.
Irene needs that.
Clint Smith, Florida Landmark Communities. It can be accessed through, I mean, we own all the property between Airport Commerce Center Way and what's being added.
Oh, so you own that
yeah,
strip of land.
What you see in brown there?
Yeah.
I guess it's brown.
It should be red, but...
yeah, that's all yes, that's all our property. The blue is not there.
Right,
that's a
right.
city parcel, but,
right.
but the rest parcels. Of that is all of ours.
200,000 square feet for 52 acres... Does that seem
doesn't sound like much, I know, but what you don't see there is a wetland map, which is fairly extensive. So there's a limited amount of upland available to be developed in most of what you see there in purple.
Does the city have any plans of connecting Selma Woods with Belterre along this canal?
At this time, no. The thought... Some preliminary discussions have been that really the connection would come from maybe Citation Boulevard,
which is further south.
Yes, sir. To Seminole Woods.
See, my question stems from two points here. You've got mixed use, and you're going for a heavy industrial zoning classification, which is fine, but you only have one point of ingress. You don't have any points of ingress egress outside of your parcel here for Airport Commerce and or through any roads through the Flagler County Airport. And heavy industrial, you're going to put a borrow pit there? Or, I mean, you can have some heavy trucks on there.
Actually, one of our plans is to do a borrow pit on the upland that's there. It's not something, I mean, it would operate over years. It wouldn't produce heavy traffic by any means. Would be fairly slight based on my experience. The rest of the industrial property is fairly limited because of the wetlands. At one time, we had actually talked to the airport years ago about extending some of these routes through to the airport, but those that's never led anywhere. They're more interested in developing their side over where the runways are, and there are extensive wetlands in between. I'm not going to say that it could never be done, but right now I'd say it's unlikely.
That's all I have for now. I'm sure I'll think of something soon.
Mr. Davis?
I have nothing, thank you.
Ms. Lucas?
Are you ever concerned about the density, I mean the future density? When it just seems to me that, like the gentleman said, you're not too much concerned about the industrial traffic. I've only been here since 2004, but people complain today that, you know, that Palm Coast is too crowded. It doesn't look crowded to me. But to those who have been here for an awfully long time, I guess it does seem crowded. So how do you propose to build in adequate services for all these folks that are potentially coming?
Sure. Well, Ms. Lucas, the one thing that we are required to do when we do a future land use map amendment such as this is to look at the impact of the maximum development potential as proposed. And I think what we showed you is that it has a maximum development potential of approximately 610 additional homes. Now, that's the maximum. It might not be developed at that number.
Yeah.
Again, depending on, you know, where the wetlands are and the development or the market at that time.
I'm sure that things would be done incrementally, but I just wonder, you know,
sure.
Essential services.
But the essential services are there. We couldn't recommend approval of such a map amendment if it shows that it's going to negatively impact our public facilities. That if we don't have enough water or sewer capacity available to serve this this potential map
at change, the maximum build-out.
At the maximum build-out, we then we'd have to do something at that time that such that we'd have to recommend that the city needs to increase the capacity in order to adequately serve this.
I wasn't so much referring to underground services and the provision of water and like that, but I'm talking when you talk about schools. I've never heard any discussion about a police force increase. I don't hear a discussion about hiring, you know, the potential for hiring. Maybe not in this room or with this plan, but I mean concurrent with other things that we talk about around town.
Sure.
And in this room, I don't see, you know, much conversation being lent towards how we accommodate the people of the future.
Sure. It's not one of those things that we're required to show that we have the capacity to serve, but certainly the sheriff's office has their staffing needs that ramp up as development occurs. And again, part of what this, you know, this development, this pay, it's ad valorem and property taxes that serves to fund the sheriff's office. I think when the level of development gets closer to the ground, as in we know now that we're going to develop for whatever, instead of the maximum, whether it's 300 or 400 units, I think we get into a closer look of what the needs are in terms of capacity, the fire service and police services. So I think maybe if we look at it, the analogy we like to use is that we're at the 35,000-foot level with a comp plan amendment and a zoning map amendment. The closer we get to the ground, the more we look at the capacity to serve.
If a potential developer came in with a proposal, issues such as fire and police protection would be addressed in that study that you do.
It would certainly be looked at that time, especially if you have a multi-family housing development where you're proposing three or four stories, something like that. The fire department looks at that and says, and can say, like, well, we don't have the equipment to serve something like this, and typically that would lead to a negotiation between the fire department and the developer.
This has the capacity for multiple dwellings, for three or four stories.
Well, let me just take that back, because the proposed zoning, the proposed zoning is single family.
In your conversation, that's why I'm asking
yes,
you.
Yes.
Are we talking about only single families, or are we talking about multiple dwellings?
I think it's any
combination.
Any combination.
It's outside our scope, anyways.
Right. But now, just to help answer your question, like for police, I could tell you, even though it's not kind of required for the comp plan, and we look at things like water, we have to develop it and all that, but I could tell you, I mean, Jose and I, we as recently as 6 months ago, had a real large exercise and conversation and coordination with the sheriff's office, providing information. They ask us regularly, especially when they're doing their budgeting and they're looking to hire a different sheriff and what they need for their level of service. They ask us. They had a person actually designated to work with Jose and I on what's coming in the future, what kind of developments, how many units. We also, our department also provides an annual report that shows what developments have been done and how many units have been done during that year. So they, you know, although we're not in the public meeting talking about it, our communication level with the sheriff's office is very good, especially when it comes to planning, and we do communicate them and their needs and kind of let them know what's going on and what's on the horizon.
Yeah, and again, I don't want to focus on any one thing more than I want to focus on, are we doing these, when you say comprehensive, I mean comprehensive. Are we looking at the future uses of this parcel? And are others concurrently looking at what the needs of people of the future will be? You know, because we have an opportunity here in Palm Coast where you're starting literally from scratch, you know, and you're clearing land and you have a responsibility to build for the future with all those things considered. That may not be within this room's purview, but it is something that I would be concerned about.
And also that, if I can, that's the reason you have impact fees as well. This new development helps pay for those increase in services that are needed, whether it be transportation-related, parks and recreation, schools, emergency services. The city has an impact fee where they project what they're going to need, and the fee is based on that. So any new development, whether it be residential or whatever, is paying some amount of impact fee based on what its use will be.
Thank you.
Mr. Davis.
Does the city, the sheriff's department comes under the county. Their funding comes under the county. Okay? We don't have a police department. Fire department is Palm Coast. Mm-hmm. It's not county. All right, so the city actually budgets money to the fire department, but they do not budget money to the sheriff's department. Mm-hmm.
Mr. Davis, I'm talking in terms, I was trying to help Ms. Lucas when it comes to planning, when it comes to what is Palm Coast going to be 5 years from now as far as population, what do we have on the ground, that coordination effort we've had with the Sheriff's Department.
But you wouldn't want to build a Sheriff's Department based upon the total build-out that's approved in the future land. You would want to build out your police department based upon what's the actual numbers that are going in there. And we're not there yet. That wouldn't happen until some developer comes back with a plat, with a plan to start building houses, and is going to build permits. That's when the issue of, are there enough police in the county to cover this growth in Palm Coast. And you're right, Mr. Davis, that the county, the sheriff's department budget is a county issue. But we pay a substantial amount of money directly to the sheriff's department for coverage of areas, for additional coverage in areas in Palm Coast. We've been doing that for years. I don't know how much it is, but it's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
One other question. Is 203 acres to be included in this particular scenario we're talking about.
Yes.
Now, there's also 11 acres of parks and recreation. Is that coming out of the 203 acres?
No, sir. That 11 acres is the additional demand for parks, for park space. Our level of services that we provide, 8 acres per 1,000 people.
Yeah.
Okay. So that 11 acres is the additional amount of parks we would have to provide in order to accommodate the maximum development potential of this site.
Okay, so they have a development order, a note in which they can 256 units they can develop on 203 acres. Is that correct?
The 256 was the previous.
No, it's 609.
Yeah, they can develop up to 609 units. 256 was the previous number of units that they could develop.
600.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
From what I read in this report, there is sufficient excess capacity currently in our parks and recreation inventory to cover this requirement for 11 acres.
Oh, okay. So that would be additional to the, this is outside of.
Yes.
Okay.
Am I right? Is that correct, Jose?
Yes, sir. That's correct. And also when development comes in, there tends to be some discussion with staff and the developer as to maybe you can provide a park and you know, it's an amenity that a lot of developers want to provide their potential.
They
want to
do it anyway, yeah. Okay, anything else from the board? Thank you, Fred. We're now at the point where we're open to public comment. Anyone from the public who would like to approach the podium and make a comment? Welcome to do it. I see no one approaching the podium, so we'll close the public meeting portion of this agenda and go back to the board for discussion and a vote. Gentlemen, what's your pleasure, please?
Where's their recommendation?
Does that help, Mr. Henderson?
I can't read.
Okay.
Staff recommends the brief. Len and Planning and Land Development Regulation Board recommends the approval of the proposed Bloom Amendment for residential, low density, rural estate, agriculture and timberland, and industrial, which is a Flagler County designation, to residential and industrial, which is a Palm Coast designation, along with the footnote limiting development within the area. That's the proposal. That's the recommendation.
Okay, is that a motion, Mr. Dennis?
Yes, it's a motion. I'm going to say the motion.
Okay. So we need the motion been made. Do we have a second?
Second it.
Okay. Motion made, seconded. Any discussion?
None of the world here.
you want to call the roll?
Yep. Mr. Henderson?
Yes.
Mr. Dolmey?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Davis?
Yes.
Mrs. Lucas?
Yes.
Okay, now we need a second motion on the second paragraph. That's up there that changes the zoning map.
The Planning and Land Development Regulation Board recommends the approval of the proposed zoning amendment, map amendment from industrial and rural community plan development to single family residential and heavy industry.
Heavy industrial. Again, that's a motion, Mr. Henderson?
Yes.
Need a second?
Second.
Mr. Davis, thank you. Any discussion?
Are we going to call the roll?
Mr. Henderson?
Here, yes.
Mr. Dolan?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Davis?
Yes.
Mrs. Lucas?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Thank you.
Okay, do you have anything else from the home team?
No, sir.
And I would take a motion to adjourn.
Move to adjourn.
Second by Mr. Anderson. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much.